I love the message of that song, both the verses that really go together, that first verse about the Lord bringing us peace in our soul, but then us reflecting that outward and taking that to somebody else. And really, that's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about, what we've been looking at during our Sunday school time, what we've been focused on this entire year. The fruit of the Spirit is really not about us, although we get something out of it, but it's really to take to somebody else. And our world is desperately in need of peace this morning. I think we can look around and see there's chaos all over, and Christ is the only hope for real peace in the world. And so we need to be diligent to take Him out to other people. Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Now I'm going to read verses that we've been reading over the last few weeks out of Exodus chapter number 20 very, very briefly. But then I want us to read the passage again out of Exodus chapter number 32 this morning. We've been talking about American idols. Thus far, we've talked about the American idol of sport, the idol of spot, the idol of Spielberg last week. And this morning, we want to look at the idol of Spotify. Spotify. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 3 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Verse number 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them." Verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Verse number 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Begin reading it with me, if you will, in Exodus chapter number 32, verse number 17. We brought this as our text passage about 8 weeks ago or so and talked about an idolatrous worship service. But I want us to see one specific portion of this account here, and it'll lead us to talk about this American idol today. Exodus 32, verse number 17. "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, Moses said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf, which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, and Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." This morning we're going to talk about the American idol of Spotify. I'm going to tell you what Spotify is here in just a moment, just in case you're not aware of what it is. It really is just simply representative of what we're talking about this morning, and so we'll get into it after we pray. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so privileged to be in your house this morning. Lord, we're thankful to be in a place of peace, because the Prince of Peace is in our midst. And so I pray that, Lord, even with these messages that really have been more so on the negative side, I pray, Lord, that we would have peace and turning the idols over in our own hearts and in our own lives. Lord, being able to recognize these things that would exalt themselves against the only God, the true God, the Creator God. And Lord, we might come into better relationship, those that know You as personal Savior, come into better relationship with You, to be able to get closer to You, because there isn't anything, Lord, that is exalting itself and putting itself between us and You. And then, Lord, that we might be able to, Lord, properly have a testimony and represent You to the world around us, that we wouldn't have, Lord, not only personal idolatry, but also any kind of perspective idolatry and, Lord, preconceived idolatry, things that others would look in our lives and see these things as idolatrous. Lord, help us in all these different areas, and ultimately we would have peace come to our hearts. I pray if there is somebody here in our midst who is not saved this morning, Lord, help them to realize their great need. Help them to realize that without Jesus Christ being their Savior, they look forward to an eternity without peace. But if they know Jesus, they will know peace also. Help us this morning. Please speak to our hearts and continue to help us to draw closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Founded in 2006, Swedish company Spotify, with its largest corporate office in New York City, was recently voted in a Newsweek poll as a top workplace internationally. Spotify is credited with making cell phones the device most people use to find and listen to music, of which 365 million use their service worldwide. 365 million people worldwide uses Spotify's service, 165 million people being paid subscribers. So 165 million people in the world are paid subscribers to this service that Spotify offers. It is valued at $46 billion in revenue. $46 billion. It offers, this is really what Spotify does, it offers digital copyright, restricted recorded music, and podcasts. Here recently, they've gotten big time into the podcast market, including more, this is astonishing to me, more than 70 million songs. 70 million songs. We have about 520 or so songs in our hymn book. That's the total amount of songs that we have. I'd like to get a hymn book at some point that's got close to about 1,000 songs. There are apparently, just on Spotify's network, 70 million songs from record labels and media companies. What is that to say? That there is a whole lot of music in this world. Spotify this morning represents for us this American idol of music. Music. Now, I want to tell you as we get into this, as I have said about many of these other idols that we've already talked about, God is the one that created music in the first place. We can look all throughout the scriptures and see this to be the case, that God is the one that originally created music, and He even gave it to His people, believing people. You can read in the Old Testament scriptures, in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, in the worship of God, the tabernacle worship and all of that. God even had groups of people in Israel that God equipped, that He gifted to be able to play instruments of music, to be able to bring this together, and his people would sing. And so God is the one that created music in the first place. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28 for just a moment. I was going to hold off on this passage till the very end, but I think it's good that we look at it at the very beginning, because this sort of goes part and parcel with the fantasy of false idolatry. Can I say this? The Lord owns everything. The Lord owns everything. And we looked in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, chapter number 2, after everything that God created, out of which we get everything that we have. There is nothing original that we have that God did not give us the components to be able to have, and that includes music. So everything we have, God created, God made, and we receive from God. But with that, everything that God made and that God made good, Satan steals from God and sort of makes his own thing out of it. Now we'll see this here in Ezekiel chapter number 28. Look at, there's several verses that we could actually look at, but go to verse number 14 this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 28 and verse number 14. Let's see here. That is not the one that I wanted. Just a second. I've got this written down somewhere, but it's a little further on in my notes. We may have to come back to that here in just a moment, because I apparently have that passage wrong in my mind, which won't be the first and won't be the last time that will occur. Where is it? You know what? This is where my mind is this morning. The reason I couldn't find what I'm looking for is because I'm in Exodus chapter number 28. Okay, Ezekiel 28, verse number 13, you're there and I'm now there. Notice what the Bible says, verse number 13. We'll start verse number 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, this is talking about a leader. You can look up there, the king of Tyrus, and God is giving some pronouncements of judgments upon some human leaders. But there are some prophetic things here, and what God is doing is he is likening one of these human leaders to an angelic, a spiritual leader, and we'll see this in the passage here, verse number 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, he is talking about this beautiful creature, and you might think he's talking about a human being until you read further into the passage. But I want you to notice what he says in the end of verse number 13. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, God created these angelic beings. You can look in the book of Hebrews and see that they were created to be servants, servants of God, servants to humankind. And the Bible says in the day that this one was created, that the pipes and the tabrets were in him. Verse number 14. Thou art, here's he's telling us now who he's talking about. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now, a cherub is one, we see this again in the tabernacle setting. These angelic beings would be set up, one on one side of the tabernacle with wings hovering over, and one on the other side, the Bible says their wings would touch, and they would be covering the tabernacle there. And apparently there is some sort of a setup this way in the heavenly places where there are these anointed cherubs that cover this setup in heaven. basically, that's what we see here in the passage. God said this being was one of those anointed cherubs. He says, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Hear me this morning. Even the angelic beings, the one that we call demons today, they were originally created good. They were good. Mankind was good. All the rest of God's creation was good. The Bible says, till iniquity was found in thee. What we see in Ezekiel chapter number 28 is that God made this angelic being, who we find out is Lucifer later in the passage, that he made him a musical being or a musical creature. And is it any wonder that music has been used? We can look in Exodus chapter number 32, but we can look all throughout the scriptures and see that music has been used in a wrong way. Something that originally was created good, used in a wrong way to go against the Creator God. So this platform called Spotify that has over 70 million songs on it, it allows basically that music can be played and listened to all day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. With the advent of the internet, it can be streamed at any time of day. Basically, anything you want to access concerning music or a whole lot of other things, you can access any time of the day or night. Spotify is just one of the platforms that does this. I was chuckling as I was reading a little bit about Spotify and some of the controversies. Some artists have had disputes with this platform because of the fact that if they don't sign on with Spotify as the main platform for their music, Spotify was accused of basically moving the artist to the front of searches and things of that nature for those artists that would sign on with them versus artists that would sign on with, say, some platform like Apple Music or something like that. And I was chuckling to myself about some of these wars and things that go on like that, censorship, if you will, even amongst these companies. But Spotify is a very, very high revenue company, and there are many, many like them. I'm not pointing them out just to point them out, but they kind of just go along with the alliteration of what we've been talking about. So we're talking about the American idol of music this morning. Music has become an idol in the United States of America. Now, we're going to qualify this and quantify it, and then we're going to look at some other scripture, and we'll be done today. Let me give you some statistics very quickly. First of all, I want to say this. 400 million music streaming subscribers exist worldwide. 400 million music subscribers, streaming music subscribers, exist worldwide. Now, this is pretty fascinating because that number was 305 million in 2019, about the midway point of 2019. So that's actually gone up by almost 100 million people in the course of about a year and a half. That's very interesting. What's been going on over the course of the last year and a half or so? People have stayed home more, and they're looking for entertainment outlets and so on. And I really believe with all my heart that that is the reason why this number is up like it is. Now, how do we qualify this as an American idol, this matter of music? 183 million in the U.S. are now streaming. This is pretty phenomenal to my mind, accounting for 77% of the U.S. internet-using population. 77% of people that use the internet in the United States of America, I don't know what the percentage is that don't use the internet, okay? I think that would probably be a pretty small percentage overall. But 77% of those that use the internet stream music. That's 183 million people in the United States, remember the total population in the world that stream as subscribers of music is 400 million. So almost half of that number is American people. Americans logged, this is phenomenal, it's hard to compute, 284 billion on-demand music streams in just the first 6 months of 2017. That means that 284 billion playings of a streaming song or a podcast or whatever it may be, 284 billion of those happened in just one half of a year in 2017. So what I'm saying is this. Music is very, very popular, not only all throughout the world, but it is extremely popular in the United States of America. Go with me just for a second and think about this. We were talking about Spielberg last week, and we talked about television and movies and these types of things. Think about how much music is used in TV programming, commercials, sports, all the different formats that we can think of. Outside of just listening to it by itself, it is used seemingly for everything else. There are jingles that we know of here in our area, and it's like this all over the place, jingles that companies have created, and they've literally become famous for jewelry or what have you. And music is employed. God has not only made angels, some angels, surely angelic creatures and beings, but we also have been made musical beings. And I believe that's part and parcel as to why music is so very popular in this day and age. It was no different with the people in Old Testament times, no different in the book of Exodus, chapter number 32, where we read about this idolatrous worship service. I want you to think about three words that we see in Exodus chapter number 32. The first word that stands out to me is the word sing. The word sing. Now we're going somewhere with this, but stay with me for just a moment. The Hebrew word for the word sing or singing in the book of Exodus chapter number 32, Joshua says to Moses, boy, it sounds like there's war going on. And Moses said, no, it sounds like singing to me. The Hebrew there for the word sing is the word answer or respond in English. Answer or respond. So to sing means to answer or to respond. It really has to do with communication, communicating. Now we're going to see this here in a moment in the scriptures in another passage in a very positive light. But just understand this word sing or singing has to do with answering or responding. And you ever been in a setting where maybe you come in, maybe it's a work setting or maybe some other kind of a setting, certainly this would apply in church, and somebody begins to sing a song, or maybe they don't even sing the words of the song, they begin to whistle or to hum a tune, and slowly but surely others gather in on that. Answering, responding to one another. This is this matter of singing and music. There's a second word we see here in this idolatrous worship service, this false idol of music that the children of Israel got involved with, and the word is dance. Now, I want to say there is nothing in and of itself wrong with singing. There's nothing in and of itself wrong with dancing. God talks a lot about dancing in the Word of God. But we see something going on here. When a certain kind of music was employed, dancing started to occur, and the Bible says that he saw the golden calf and the dancing. The word here, dance, is from the Hebrew word that means company. Company. Or an association. So in other words, people are getting together around something, they're associating, they're drawing together around something, and you can see this occurring. These folks have some music going. There's some singing that begins, and before long, it moves to a rhythm of the body, and they begin to dance together. They're associating together around something. Now, this is very interesting to me. Think about this. If we're focused on the one true God and His Word and the principles of His Word, we can get together, we can sing together, we can even move our bodies in certain way. I've seen people sway back and forth or even jump because they're excited about the music of the Lord, raise a hand or something like that. Folks, I have no issues with that. I don't believe God has an issue with that. I see time and time again where people who were believers would dance for the Lord. But they've got the focus wrong. They've got the foundation wrong. They're worshiping false idols. And so now there's this music and this dancing going on. And then we see the final word, and it is the word naked. The Bible says that Aaron made them naked to their shame. The word naked simply means to loosen. Now, I want you to consider this for a moment, the power of music. Music allows and causes, because of our emotional and mental makeup, it allows for us to be loosened. And that doesn't necessarily mean that all music will cause us to get naked, but here is the point. There is a certain kind of music and singing that would cause people to get together and dance and ultimately take their clothes off. And in the course of the history of time, you can see this employed in many, many different cultures where false idolatry is prevalent and present. You'll see this dancing going on. The Bible mentions it as the word lasciviousness. People are gyrating their body in such a way of a sexual nature or a sensual nature. I believe that's exactly what's going on in Exodus chapter number 32. So there's singing, there's dancing, ultimately there is nakedness. The Bible says there's shame attached to what is going on. All right, why do I mention all of that? One of the reasons I mention all of that is because Open Door Baptist Church, when it comes to this matter of music, we are extremely careful. Maybe overly so. Because we realize that music has such power to be able to loosen an individual that an individual could potentially be loosened towards something that really is evil or wicked or unrighteous and really not godly, not holy, and something that is focused on the goodness of God. And so we are very, very careful with the type of music we have, not only the lyrics, but the actual melodies and the harmony itself and all these different things that we employ. We're very, very careful with it. We're very conservative with it. Because we understand that Satan has taken music and taken it to such degrees as there's so much darkness that has been put together with this matter of music. So many different genres focus on so many different things, and we could talk about those things, but let me quantify this for sake of time this morning. Let me give you a couple things. Let me talk to you about time for a moment. This is phenomenal. 2 hours, 31 minutes a day, on average, for Americans, is how much music is listened to. Some sites actually listed as much as 4 hours per day. That's an average. 51% of the American population listens to some form of music. I'm not talking about something coming on TV in a commercial or something in passing. I'm talking about actually listening, plugging in to listen to music. 51% of the population listens to music every day. Every day. Consider that amount of time, if you add it up, is somewhere between 18 and as much as 28 hours per week that somebody is listening to music. By the way, this There were times in our society where we would have been like, there's no way that this is even possible. But it is possible now. Why? Because we have these neat earbuds and headsets and so on. And literally, you see people all over the place. In every sector of society with something in their ear. And oftentimes, you can tell what they're listening to. Why? Because their body is showing it. Right? You can see them dancing to whatever music it is that they're playing. And so literally 2.5 to 4 hours a day on average, folks will be plugged in to listening to music. By the way, a lot of these sites, and this applies to last week's study as well concerning TV and movies and all of that as well, it'll list all these hours that the average person listens to music or watches television or whatever the case may be. And then it lists the average amount of time that somebody reads, and it's like 5 minutes a day. I'm talking about actively plugging in to read. And that's all reading. That's an average of all types of reading. We're not just talking about the reading of the scriptures, the best reading that we can do. Let me mention money for a moment. There's a lot we could talk about concerning this one. It's far-reaching. $20 billion in revenue of $60 billion worldwide is what America accounts for. Again, the American music industry, production, both live production and recorded, stands for $20 billion of $60 billion worldwide. So one-third of the revenue America has and makes for the remainder of the world. Again, we don't represent anywhere close to a third of the population. That is to increase, this is probably, I don't know if this is an accurate figure or not, but projections would have that increasing to $131 billion in 2030, less than 10 years from now, which would probably take America up double, which would be $40 billion in revenue. So America overly represents the amount of money that is brought in revenue concerning this matter of money. What about influence? Folks, we could talk for hours and hours and even listen to testimonies. I listened to some testimonies over the last few days about people that grew up listening to certain kinds of music with certain types of content. They were raised in good, strong, conservative value environments, but they were raised listening to a certain kind of music and ultimately got involved in types of lifestyles that went along with those emphases that were in those courses of music. It's all over. It's a very, very influential thing. And again, I've mentioned this before. I mentioned it last week. Is it any wonder that we have these mass attacks and the way that the sexual revolution has taken off since about the 1960s? Is it any wonder when we look at music and its lyrics and the things that it promotes? It's amazing the strong influence that it has. We're very, very careful around our house. A lot of these toys that you'll buy for children now these days are musical type of toys, whether that be some sort of a radio or record player, whatever it is, or whether it be some sort of a stuffed animal, that plays some music or something like that, some sort of a doll or what have you. And what am I saying? Satan is very, very good at working at the earliest of ages to get young people thinking about things that are against God. By the way, this works on the other side as well. If you'll bring your kids to church, to Sunday school, and you will throughout the week have times that you sing good songs with them, they'll also be able to focus on those things as well. I am so thankful. My daughter, especially my youngest daughter, boy, she's a musical creature, loves to sing all the time. At the ripe age of 5 years old, guess what? She's singing about the Lord most often. Most often. There are some kids' songs that, come on Dora and, you know, kids programming, that they'll sing some of those as well, but most often they're singing about the Lord. Why is that? We have tried to influence them on purpose away from what we know is so much of the music in our world today. Look at some passages of Scripture. We'll be done this morning. We're already past time. Look at Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter number 3. I'm saying that in the American culture, and probably within Christendom as well, this matter of music has become an idol. Could I say something that maybe a whole lot of folks haven't thought about, and maybe you'll disagree with me, but hear me out concerning this. I really believe that even good music, godly music, can be idolatrous. Now, let me tell you why I say that. There are people that are more prone or more musically prone, really just love it more than others might love it or what have you. And if we spend, for instance, hours a day even listening to good music with good messages and neglect things that God has set before us to do or to be involved with, for instance, communing with Him from His Word, prayer and Bible reading and witnessing and some of these other things that God has given us to do, guess what? Music has actually been lifted up to a place that it ought not to be. And the reason I point this out is because we have some really, really accomplished musical Christian artists in our world today. Good ones. Ones that I would say, you know, you ought to listen to them, and they've got good songs and things of that nature. But we better be very, very careful, folks, that we don't begin to worship music itself because of what it does for us, or even worship musicians, even good ones, above a place that it ought to be. We've got to keep these things in balance. Look at Colossians chapter 3, if you would, please. There's so much to say about this, and we're going to have some messages about this also on Sunday nights. We'll be talking more about this matter of church music in particular. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Notice verse number 16. We'll have time to read other verses. The Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So remember, we talked about singing, meaning to answer, and here he is telling us that we are to teach and admonish, to encourage one another, to enrich one another in the doctrine of the truths of the Word of God in the area of music, and that music actually does that. One of the reasons why we still use a hymn book, and by the way, we're not opposed to newer songs. The one that was sung this morning is a fairly new song, the song that was sung as our special this morning. But the reason that we love hymns that have been written in yesteryear is because they are filled with the Word of God. That's one of the reasons we use them, because we understand music is not amoral. It's not neither good nor bad. Music is communication. And so we're very, very careful to sing things that ultimately we would grow, even in the times that we're singing about standing on the promises of God, for instance. Teaching and admonishing one another. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 17. Notice what it says. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Our singing definitely in church all of the music, all of the songs ought to sing and make melody. By the way, music is praise. It brings praises to God, the right kind of music. All of the music in church ought to bring praise to the Lord God. Every single bit of it. By the way, I would argue this. Christians need to be very careful about what we listen to in our personal time. Because that music may not in and of itself not glorify God, but it may lead into some areas that really just are against the principles of the Word of God. For instance, many of the, I'll pick out a genre this morning, the R&B songs, for instance, are meant to be love songs and romantic songs and things of that nature. Look, I have no problem if a married couple wants to get together and listen to some nice romantic songs together and love one another that way. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But you need to be very, very careful, because a lot of this music that the world produces, that Satan is behind, it brings about these philosophies. For instance, just being in a relationship and doing what married people do. That's what a lot of music, by the way, you can name the genre today, and many of them promote that. Many of them promote what God talks about here, drunkenness. Many of them promote that. Many of them promote living life for self and feeling good and basically making it all about me. Many of the songs that are out would put the emphasis on that. You understand what I'm saying here? So music speaks, it answers, it's got a message, it communicates. We ought to be very, very heavy on music that would communicate the goodness and the greatness of God. Look at two more passages, we'll be done. Psalm number 33. Psalm number 33. Now, I wonder if we were to look at our lives. By the way, God talks about a steward accounting, taking account. If we were to take account of the hours of one typical weekday, I'm not talking about Sunday, because us church-going folks could cheat on Sunday, right? I'm in church several hours on Sunday. Right? Take a typical weekday when you have time outside of maybe a job or something like that, and how much time is being given simply to listening to music. Versus, okay, somebody raised up zero. That's good. That's good. No issue with that. No issue if you've got, you know, some time there. But I'm saying take that amount of time and put it up against, for instance, the time that the Word of God is being read and studied. And you'll find out, can you learn some things about God from good music? Absolutely you can, but there is nothing like the book itself. That's what we need first and most. Psalm number 33. Take account and figure out, is this maybe idolatrous in my life? Psalm 33, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely or beautiful for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Psalm number 40 mentions this new song. He hath put a new song in my mouth, the song, psalmist says. That is a fresh song. God has given me something fresh to sing about. Now hear me this morning. The freshest topic that we can sing about or hear somebody sing about is the Lord Himself. By the way, the Bible says His faithfulness is true. His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. He is the freshest thing. It's not the newspaper. It's not the newest song out that is being written by some human person. No, the freshest thing we can sing or hear about is the Lord Himself. Straight out of His Word. We got to put the emphasis back where God puts the emphasis. Is it any wonder that as the Lord talks about what it is that they're to worship and what they're not to worship and what they're not to do, Exodus chapter number 20, the last six of what they talk about, honor thy father and thy mother, Do we see any principles in much of the music out today that rails against authority? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lust after things that are your neighbors. And all these things that we see in there in the last six, we see in the music much of it that is produced by the world, by Satan and his crowd. And we need to be very, very careful with music in general, and certainly music that is not that which glorifies our Lord. Christian friend, are these idols in our lives, Spielberg, Spotify? Are we taking account of our lives and making sure that God, and His Word, His principles, His truths, they are first place, and everything else is secondary? This American idolatry. We're going to look at three others, before we get done. And I trust that the Lord is helping us in these areas. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take just these few things that we were able to give this morning and help us in this matter of music as an idol. Lord, I know it's these temptations are not the same for everyone. But Lord, it seems to be a big temptation in modern day society. The numbers tend to prove it out. And Lord, it's amazing. We'll come into the house of God and get our minds and hearts focused on the things of God, the truths of God, the principles of God. And then get into our cars and turn on the radio or turn on, Lord, some streaming service or whatever it is. And hear some type of music that is communicating a completely different message. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to realize where these idols may be in our lives, that we would take account as stewards, and we would get it out. I pray that we would represent for those that are looking at our testimony, Lord, the things that are good and righteous and holy and godly in this area of music. Bless now this time of invitation. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask this. Is there somebody here this morning that would say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure that I've ever been born again. I'm not sure that I've ever received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know if I were to die today that heaven would be my home, but I am concerned about that today. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that this morning? Could I pray for you? Just slip your hand right up, right back down. Let me pray for you, please, if that's you. Let me ask this question. Say, I'm a believer. Boy, the Lord has certainly spoken to my heart this morning again about the matter of idolatry. Anybody like that this morning? Right hands up all over the place. God has certainly spoken to my heart concerning this one as well. Let's pray together. We're going to have a time of invitation. Maybe you need to come make a decision for the Lord this morning. Maybe you need to come and talk to somebody about this matter of salvation, or maybe concerning believers' baptism or joining the church, or maybe rededicating your life to God. Whatever it is that the Lord would have you do this morning, we would invite you to come as the invitation starts, and we're going to pray and have it. Heavenly Father, bless now this time of invitation. Please continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to truly put you first and to have no other gods before you. And Lord, concerning all the hands and the hearts represented this morning, please help us to make decisions even today that we're going to make some changes in our lives as stewards of all the good things that you've given us, that we might handle them in a way that ultimately glorifies and honors the Creator God. Help us this morning, Lord. Help decisions that need to be made, they will be made in Jesus' name. Amen.